Hey, welcome back to The Lookout with your host, Isekai Keem, and of course, Noises Poet. Now, it's kind of been a slow week for anime, and I feel as though it's probably because we're ramping up to have a fire start to the new year. So Noises, why don't you tell the people what to expect in the next coming months?
Now, January is when technically the winter season starts. So even though it says, if you look anywhere, it'll say winter 2025, it's not for December, it's just for this upcoming January. So in the next 2 months, we're supposed to be getting new Apothecary Diary season. So Apothecary Diaries can be found on Crunchyroll. It was a really popular anime that ran around the same time that Frieren did. And it's about Mao Mao. She is a daughter of an apothecary, and she ends up being taken and forced into servitude at a palace where she's supposed to be like one of the women in waiting that takes care of a consort for the emperor. And she ends up needing to use her medicinal knowledge. And essentially, it's just about her journey after she was taken and, you know, trying to come into her own life. I think it's a really solid anime, and a lot of people are anticipating that one. Okay. We got new Dr. Stone coming.
Love
Dr.
that.
Dr. Stone is, no pun intended, it's just a solid anime all around.
I said you did that.
Now, no, I didn't do that.
I said you did there.
No, I did not do that on
purpose.
Yes,
you did. It's solid.
I'm sick of you already. Now, Dr. Stone is, and for those who aren't hip already, Dr. Stone's about the world. Basically, everybody gets turned to stone. 3,000 years elapsed, and essentially all the technology is null and void. So we got our boy Senku. He comes out of the stone, starts trying to get the civilization back to what it was. So he's remaking technology from scratch because that boy's a genius. We got... And he's working on trying to get people out of the stone. You can find that one pretty much anywhere where there's anime, because Crunchyroll, Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, all of that. And fortunately, if you have family that likes anime, that's one of the perfect ones that you could be putting your kids on. You can sneakily teach them things while also still showing them anime and getting your fix on.
I think the nerd in me like that. I'm like, oh, look at that practical application of anime. Oh, yeah, love that. We're learning
exactly.
Anime. Love that.
And then last but not least for my anticipations for anime that are coming out is going to be My Happy Marriage. Now, My Happy Marriage is a Netflix original, and it focuses on this girl who is from a family where technically – she used to have, like, her mother is from a line of people who are really strong in their area, and they have, like, an emphasis on powers. And she, quote-unquote, didn't have the powers. So her family frowned upon her and treated her like garbage. They treated her like a servant girl. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, when the time comes, she ends up... basically there's this lord that is seen as really rude. He's a pretty boy, so the women think he looks nice, but he's mean as hell to every woman he comes across. But you know how the people who are like top tier, all the people thirst after you, all they want your money and things like that. So you just decide, nah, I'm over this whole dating scene.
Yes.
Is different. So it's about her and him after her being treated bad for so long and him being lusted after and feared by many. They are trying to figure out their arranged marriage. I wasn't expecting a second season so soon, since I feel like the romance slice of life type anime isn't as popular. Now there are fights in it, but it's not the primary focus. But I think it's a fantastic choice for the coming winter 2025 season.
Okay, listen, that's valid though, because quite frankly, I'm not a big fan of the romance slice of life. But if an appealing story is appealing, I gotta give it a listen. And like you said, that's a Netflix original, right?
Yeah, it's a Netflix original.
Okay. Well, listen, one of my recommendations coming out is also a Netflix original. Sakamoto Days. Okay. So Sakamoto Days follows the late life of a would-be assassin. All right. So during his peak, Bull was a hitman, like top tier. You name it, I got him. You done whacked, it's done. But per usual, on the job, the man falls in love. Falls in love with the woman. It's like, listen, I want you to change your ways. I want you to help me out. I want you to be a better person. I see better for you. And he was like, I understand it now. I don't have to be that guy anymore. I understand it now. So the man settled down with his wife, has a kid, and hosts a convenience store. Man, you know, gets the life. Gets a little bigger because, you know, he's not out there in the field no more. But once a hitman, always a hitman. And unfortunately, people try to get their lick back. And all you want to do is be a calm family man and make sure that your convenience store is convenient. Yes, he has one who works for him, was also a telepath. Interesting take how that happens and whatnot. But yeah, it's interesting. But that will be coming out January. Obviously, the manga has been running for quite some time. However, Netflix is picking it up come January 2025. I highly encourage you guys to look into Sakamoto Days if you're interested in the story of a guy who was a former top-tier badass and decided, I want to settle down and chill a little bit, but y'all gonna make me have to fool occasionally. But he still tries to keep that main role, try to keep that Batman going on, you know? I don't like unaliving people, that type of stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, as much as I'm looking forward to that, obviously, I'm looking forward to Solo Leveling even more. Listen, Solo Leveling is, for me, is the first successful manhwa adaptation that actually lived up to the hype. We've seen previous adaptations, Tower of God, God of High School.
Don't do Tower of God.
You recapping Tower of God. You saw that crappy animation. It looks like they just took that same animation and animated it. All right, that same drawing, you saw those. You covered it. You see it. But we're not talking about it. We're not here to talk about those. We're here to talk about Solo Leveling. If you don't know, Solo Leveling follows Sung Jinwoo in a world where everyone is essentially a hunter, which will start up with rank E through S if you're super lucky. You are born into a power and that is it. If you are incredibly lucky, you can double awaken or reawaken, right? No matter how much you train, no matter what you do, all you can do is get better with your power, but your power does not grow. Whatever you're born with, that's just it. And unfortunately, our boy Sung Jinwoo is E tier. The lowest of the low. In fact, his nickname is the world's weakest hunter. Ah, that's gotta suck. It is sad. But the boy got grit. He's like, listen, I gotta do what I gotta do. I gotta do these crazy jobs because my mom's sick. My dad gone. My little sister gotta go to college. I'm the only man of the house left. Boy gets banged up, beaten up by like goblins. Tier one fodder. His sword is like, imagine going into fight war with like a rusted bronze pencil. It's like that. But he really tried. And then some stuff happened. And then Sung Jinwoo unlocks the ability to level up. And he alone gains experience and levels up. Hence the term Solo Leveling. And he becomes a beast. And if you saw season one, you know it's about to get real. And I'm super duper looking forward to Solo Leveling season two. From the animation to not the side characters. The side characters, I'm keeping on it. They do not really do much in this show. It's Solo Leveling. It's Sung Jinwoo and his shadows. But for me, the art style and the sounds, when he gets into those fights and it gets really real, the sound that plays, which I can't say for copyright purposes, but just know it's like,
it's like for that harmony.
Listen, you see it. You see it. Because I feel it, yo. Because I'm like, maybe I alone can level up too. I can't.
No.
But listen, why are you trying to hate my dreams? Listen, there's always a hater somewhere. He gonna be E-ranked forever. I ain't about that life. I'm trying to level up.
We're not even gonna go there, sir.
Anyway. The music really ups the score, and honestly, I'm thankful for the voice acting, but the sounds really kind of carry it. And that's the thing about anime. Every good anime, to me, has some type of recurring positive sound, something that just the ear a little bit. Like, whether it's Fire Force's, like, you guys know the Benny Morrow hits, the John Clare just like,
sound effects are crazy.
I'd be like, oh, what was that feeling? Like, the sounds is crazy. So let's talk about some of our best sounds or soundtracks, openings, endings, or theme music, which we touched on last week. for characters. Noises, you want to go first or you want me to do this first? What you want?
I'm going
to
go first. So
go ahead, talk to these people.
One of the all-arounders specifically that gets into like hip-hop culture has to be Samurai Champloo.
Yeah.
Now, Samurai Champloo was always like, that one was a surprise for me because that was when I finally kind of started teetering away from what was super popular. And it's not to say that it wasn't popular, but you know, they have the etched in pop culture ones. And then you have like your popular among fans type of anime. And Absolutely. That has to be Samurai Champloo. Now, Nujabes went off on that soundtrack. That was when a lot of people started getting into lo-fi music because he basically popularized the genre. R.I.P. Nujabes. Just in general, so Samurai Champloo, for people who don't know, is Mugen, Jin, and Fu. Mugen is like your roguish freestyle swordsman. He has no specific style. He's just kind of doing what works for him. But he's still a very good swordsman.
Very good.
Then you have Jin, who is your traditionally trained swordsman. And he's an outlaw because, you know, he took out his master. Then you have Fu. And Fu is just, you know, a servant girl at a little inn who's trying to find a samurai that smells like sunflowers.
That is so vague. That is so vague. Exactly. Who even says that? But that's it. That's the journey.
Because that's what she at, and that's crazy. Like, so they all meet in a tavern, and she hires them to help her find that samurai. Jin and Mugen do not get along. So they're always butting heads. And to be honest, it's cool to see the contrasting styles. When you get a fight scene, you get that same style of music playing in the background. It's just chef's kiss. It's perfect every single time. And you get a whole nother outro that's also that lo-fi style music. So it's just, whereas you get normally like a rock music or your traditional Japanese style music that sounds like it's like Japanese classical type music when you get an outro. I feel like that was really the start or the mecca, the beginning of when people started to pivot into hip hop style intros or hip hop style music in anime.
That's valid. Listen, I rock with Samurai Champloo heavy. Listen, before the joint even started, I put on Shiki no Uda. I was over there chilling because it's such a vibe. You used to be over there. If you like, want some cleaning the house music, some unwind music, listen, put
it's
on
perfect time.
Samurai Champloo. And they also have the upbeat scenes and the combat stuff. And obviously the scores over the tracks. I love it. I personally am a huge fan of Samurai Champloo. And it does not get enough recognition. Once again, shout out to Nujabes. We appreciate all that you've done, your contributions, and we know that you were heavily influenced by African-American culture. We appreciate that all the same. Now, let me pivot.
It is on Crunchyroll and Hulu as well, just so people can find it.
Absolutely. If you haven't found it, please go check those out. I implore you to do so. Now, we can't talk soundtracks and sound effects and leave out one of the big three. I was teetering between which I wanted to talk on, but personally, because one of them's still airing, the other one isn't, I'm going to talk about the one that's still airing. We're talking about Bleach. Okay. Bleach, from the intro, first off, Bleach has had numerous opening soundtrack changes, and they all fire. And they pivot. They go from K-pop to classical to rock to alternative to hip-hop influence. And the outro, all of that, it is, if you just, there's literally a playlist somewhere. Look up Bleach opening soundtrack, Bleach fire soundtracks, D Techno Life. Like, that was like the first one for me that did it. It's like, that's all I could say because I don't want us to get in trouble. But listen, from the opening to the ending, it is great. And if it just stopped there, that would be fine. But that's not it. The character gets a power up in scene. Guess what? Now you feel like you're number one when you're listening to these soundtracks because Ichigo be going off. Once he pops his Bankai. The man has his own fight music. We talked about this. If someone has their own fight music, they got hands. And if someone could cancel your fight music, they got bigger hands. And that just is what it is. People, listen, you want to feel sad? It's like, you're like, oh, snaps, I walked in the wrong area. Yeah, the whole mood change. They got that. People pull out their different Bankais, Shikai's releases, and it's a different sound. I'm like, how do y'all have all these sounds? And, bro, Shinji, if you listen to the most recent one, A Thousand Year Blood War, look at, listen to Shinji's. Boy, got a whole jazz suit flay over here. Dude is cooking. I'm like, yo, what is this? There is a sound for everything. So, if you guys don't know, Bleach, once again, one of the big three. If you're new to anime, look into Bleach. But Bleach follows a dude named Ichigo. Ichigo's a kid who has every power in the world. He just doesn't really know it. He fights to save his friends, his family, his city, and eventually the whole world, for real, from a certain people that I won't say because I always want you to explore it. Get into Bleach. The sound, like I said, everything. The combat sounds, the musical. Listen, you name a scene, picture anything. Like, picture a fight in your head. Quiet isn't really there. You were hearing some background music. Trust me, they got it. And you listen, there's always background music for everybody. And I like when certain people appear and it just sounds badass. Someone has one scene. They put all this stuff into a character who did one fight. And that joke was dope. And oh, that joke is crazy every single time. And if you're looking for Bleach, you can find it on Hulu. All of it. From Bleach to Bleach Thousand Year Blood War. And please watch them in order. Don't skip scenes. I know people say skip the Bound arc and stuff. Don't listen to people tell you to skip stuff, yo. People say skip Skypiea. Don't listen to those people.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
That's comical, though, man. People are always in this instant gratification type of mood. Absolutely. Where I have to cut to the chase instead of enjoying the journey. Mm. The One Piece is a
journey. It's real!
Yes, it is. And they're traveling to the One Piece. It's a journey. It's not a snap my fingers and I'm there. Enjoy these anime. Now,
Max, what you got for them?
For me, instead of, we've done our populars, I want to niche it down, walk the people into something newer.
Okay.
It's not a new anime per se, but something that most people may not have seen. And that's going to be Air Gear. Now, I actually collect the manga for this one.
Okay.
Air Gear is one of my personal favorites. Before you do check it out, it does have a bit of fan service in it, but it also is from around that time period from when the big three first started kind of coming out in the early 2000s. So be mindful of that. Now, Air Gear is an anime / manga about skating, and you wouldn't think much of it, but these are motorized skates called Air Trex. The main character's name is Iki. Iki is just a delinquent. He's running around. They call him the baby face, or they call him the crow. Iki is you know, doing his normal thing out here in street fights. He runs up on this gang of dudes that's on skates, Air Trex. And essentially, they took him up in the air and act like they was about to drop him. And he peed his pants. And after he did that, he decided, I'm going to give me some of them skates and give me some get back. So Iki never really had any like major aspirations. But once he got on those Air Trex, he decided, man, I've never felt so free. This feeling I get when I'm on these Air Trex or when I'm watching people seem like they're flying on these Air Trex, because he just wants to spread his wings, you know what I'm saying? Which is hilarious because there's actually a baby crow that lives in his hair. Yes, it's very interesting. And when he be tripping, it be coming out and pecking the hell out of him. But Iki is basically on a journey to experience Air Trex and truly learn what it means to fly in the sense of him out there skating, catching major air. Now, these tricks are amazing because, like, you'll see a flagpole and they'll grab the flagpole and go up the flagpole in a circle all the way around it. Like, they'll jump. Like, he was in a square you know how they have the building? It's a large square, but then there's like a square of open space in the middle of it. So like a little area in the middle that doesn't have any buildings or rooms.
Okay, yeah, I know what you mean.
He was going up the wall, like around the inside of that square. He was trying to get down a corridor. He had one skate on both sides of the wall going down like that because he was like trying to get over somebody, because they have like these trick battles where you can get parts or where you can compete for someone's emblem. I'm going to go into really depth about Air Gear one of these days on here, but Air Gear has some of the best music in all of anime, in my opinion. The intro is super memorable. It's something that gives you like a skater vibe to it, but it also is like that rock vibe slightly that anime looks for, and it does go into a little bit of the rapping. It has a little bit of rap too, but it's a Japanese intro. Anytime they're having an Air Trek battle, we have a specific sound that's playing, like when they're doing any skate tricks. Iki has his own music. You have music that's separate. Like, you know how back before when they would do commercial breaks, before like anime that came out in the earlier 2000s, they would do commercial breaks and you would have like this little scene where they put the character's face on there and they have like this little quick sound. One Piece still does it.
Yes, it does.
Air Gear, like, and that's what I mean. Like, the sounds that play for Air Gear during that, even those are just top tier. It has a top tier outro, and I just can't think of anything negative to ever say about Air Gear. If you like music and you want to get into like a different type of soundtrack, you should definitely check out Air Gear.
Solid take.
Okay. And that can be found on Crunchyroll and Hulu.
You said it's found where?
Crunchyroll and Hulu.
All right, bet it. Since we're breaking away from the norms, you know, it's like I can't do slime because that's still pretty popular. So let's dial it back to something that still is pretty popular, but isn't as popular as I feel like it should be because it's just kind of slept on. And we're going to go for Made in Abyss. Made in Abyss is a tale of a young girl who is part of an orphanage. She ends up traveling down and further into this abyss. So essentially, imagine if your entire world, right, lived on a ring. Like, your whole country is a ring. And in the center is whatever. It's depths. You don't go in there. So you guys operate outside this. Your goal or your ideal is to go further and further into that abyss. So you have people who travel and learn and take things from down there and bring it back up. How far does this go? We don't know. It's an abyss. That's how it works. Little girl's like, listen, my mom used to do this apparently, so I'm trying to be like my mom. I want to go as far as possible. Maybe she's down there. Boundless hope and optimism is important, right? But once again, this is an abyss. You don't know what to expect down there. She runs into this companion that I won't spoil. She runs to a companion who ends up accompanying her. He's not exactly human. He's something. But he ends up accompanying her, and they do their adventures together. Throughout the entire sprawling story, as you find out more and more about her, you're like, oh, this is kind of cool. This is compelling. And the soundtracks are nice, light, and eerie. And then you go into the abyss, and everything just changes. Depending on how far you go into, depending on where you encounter, there is constantly changing sound. Whether it's to move upbeat to make it suspenseful if you're getting chased, whether it's the eerie crackling, the background sound, you are hearing it. There is constantly going on. And then when the battles do occur, because obviously I'm more of a shonen guy, when the battles do occur, everything gets turned up. And you start feeling things before it happens because the sound, like, oh, you know what's about to happen because the sound shifted. And then, bam, it happens. They cue everything up really, really, really nicely. And like I said, this is a tale of a girl who's trying to see if her mother's still alive, to understand who and what her new friend is, to bring back as many resources to try to save the town, and to delve deeper into the abyss and see exactly what they can find, as low as they can find, and make it out of there safely, because unfortunately, not everyone returns from these adventures. And honestly, Made in Abyss, it's a sleeper. It's great because originally I only saw it on Amazon Prime, and that's probably why it kind of got swept under the rug. Like kind of like Grimgar Fantasy and whatnot. Things got swept under the rug.
Ooh,
You mean?
heat.
You know? But this can also now be found on Crunchyroll. So for all of you anime elitists who have Crunchyroll, be sure to take the time to look and experience Made in Abyss.
I'm surprised that you brought up Made in Abyss. That actually was a nice little, that was
You
a nice
mean?
little pick.
I had to dig a little deeper. I'm like, let me not do two layers. Let me reel it in.
Now I want to take the time to ask you, because I just thought of something to ask you.
Oh.
What are some anime intros for you that kind of, I just made a TikTok about this, that kind of put a battery in your back, like the ones that energize you when you hear them. Now,
Listen.
I'm gonna name a few to
Go ahead.
start, right? So for me, number one was always Smile Bomb, the Yu Yu Hakusho intro.
Of course, of
As
course.
soon as you hear the little sound from Botan being on the clouds, I'm already in there. I'm already locked in. I'm already locked in. The intro was great, the outro was great, and it depicted the characters in a different way. Like, you remember Kuwabara had the open shirt with the club on his back that you'd never see him swing in the actual show. Like, I love that one. That one gets me hype. Another one that always got me hype, I know a lot of people don't really go back and look at the oldies because people now are sticklers for animation, but it's Fist of the North Star. The intro for Fist of the North Star
Look at this guy.
is crazy. Zatch Bell's intro.
That was yes.
Come on,
People be
you know
sleeping
who's
on
got
Zatch
the
Bell,
power, bro?
bro. Zatch Bell, that was a good one.
You know
That
who's gonna cast that spell?
was a good one right there.
That's my shit, man. Now,
Listen.
what about you?
All right. So for me, I said one earlier. Like I said, it's naturally in my playlist. I start my morning off with some Shiki no Uta. I start my day off with Samurai Champloo. It just sets the mood nice and right. But after that, as I was trying to ramp up, Bleach D Techno Life.
Which
I
intro was that? Which one?
couldn't tell you because I enjoyed it. All I know is it goes like this because I'm not going to say it because you mean. It's like.
I know what you're talking about.
In the castle night and okay, I think that's as much as I can
That's
say off
well
that.
into the series, right?
Yeah, that's one of them. And honestly, the OG one. I'm not even gonna say Flint Time Detective because that was cool too. But what I'm gonna go with is the four kids' entrance to One Piece. Gotta go, Geico,
Thought it was good.
Steven, dump.
Some people don't like it. Some people don't like it.
What? That was my introduction. I didn't know this other one existed. Don't give it up, give it up, give it
Yes,
up.
that was my introduction too. And then I realized how terrible 4Kids
No,
did One Piece.
they butchered, changed, remastered it. They did remasters before remasters was cool, and they did it in an uncool fashion. But that track though, I'll take that. You want to give me that again? I'm all right with that.
I was definitely okay with that.
And
The
of course.
4Kids had a lot of good intros also though, because you remember Sonic.
Yes. Gotta
That
go
had,
faster than
I was
frozen. Gotta go to
obsessed.
Sonic X.
I was obsessed with
Specifically
that
Sonic
show.
X. You know, definitely Sonic X. And of course you can't knock Naruto. Blue Sky. How about to eat ta-da?
Everybody loved that book. An iconic intro.
Yeah,
Now,
those are always
but
gonna be good.
what about your outros though? Because Toonami hit us off
Come on
with
now, you come on now. You
Inuyasha.
already know. You already know. For Toonami, hit me with that
Inuyasha,
one cause I she
that
was. Wake up at 3 a.m. like
son. A whole generation wiping the crust out their eyes trying to watch
facts.
the
It's like,
show.
damn, Inuyasha's pretty good. Listen. Now to also had a few ones there. Akeboshi wins for one of the outros. JJK outro. When you're on the train is on. Solid. Solid. To me it's mostly the intros because outros don't really catch me because I'm on to the next episode too quickly.
No, that's normally the case, but what about my boys though? JoJo's Bizarre
Oh.
Adventure.
Listen.
Let's go ahead and talk about that
As
part.
as a man of color, I have to talk about, you guys ever heard of Casey and JoJo? Now, you typically, when you think about anime, as we spoke about earlier, you think about like K-pop, J-pop, alternative, some pop punk rock hits. That's usually how that works. And they are bangers. We covered a lot in this. But when it comes to the hip-hop and R&B, typically slept on. And you wouldn't think, in a shonen, like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, the outro, I swore, was an edit originally. You couldn't tell me someone didn't put this on the clip. And I watched 3 different episodes. And I watched it from Crunchyroll. So I'm like, is this the outro? And next thing you know, first off, JoJo's is hilarious because they'll end a character's whole existence. And then in the outro, they'd be like,
number like, boys, man, you gotta get above my boys.
Listen, you know, listen. I'm like, oh, they're still in the outro. They're still fine. Nope, that character got stomped out 3 seasons ago. But they still over there just.
Now, I do like the fact that they do that in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, though. That's one of the things that kind of keeps it fresh. You never know what the hell is going to happen. One episode, you have everybody just chilling. But the moment the action starts popping off, it just don't stop. And what you think is going to happen is never what happens. And you can never really count. It's a show that you can never count the villain out because there is no such thing as the power of friendship in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
No, now, the power of petty.
For the people who do like music, as far as like if you're a fan of just all different genres of music, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is perfect for you. Because say you take Josuke. Josuke is actually inspired by Prince. And Josuke was one of the leads for, I believe he was the lead for part 4 of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. You take, let's say, Roundabout by the group called Yes was used. You got Pillar Man. Pillar Man were people from season 2 of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I don't want to spoil a whole lot. I just want to talk about who people are. I won't get into the specifics, but the Pillar Man, like Wamu, his name comes from the group Wham. You got one other Pillar Man who very, very obviously was AC/DC. You got all the stands that from the later portion of the show were based on actual music groups. So like you got Highway to Hell. We don't need to even talk about where that came from.
Mm-hmm.
They actually had a callback to the Notorious B.I.G. Like, he is a huge, like Hirohiko Araki, the creator of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, is a huge music fan. I think he exhibited that to people when they were shocked about, you know, Casey and JoJo, Jodeci having a song there. And I think just from other songs that he put in the series, because he used a lot of regular music, which I have no idea how he managed to get that cleared for an anime. But the fact that he was so deeply diving into it, and the fact that all of his stands, like the names, are either popular songs or after popular groups, having designs for his characters named after different musicians, or for example, Josuke being inspired by Prince, I think that's just super dope of him. So now, not only was he in fashion, which we talked about in previous episodes, but he's also in the music genre. What is my boy not doing? Put some respect.
Live action.
On Hirohiko Araki and JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, we don't talk about live actions. That's a whole nother conversation for a whole nother day. Because we all know that live actions for anime are almost always doomed. But you know how they can fix it, bro?
They could just make sure that they never, ever, 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 ever try Dragon Ball Evolution again or try Doom they did with Death Note.
That was so awful.
Take some soft inspirations from the One Piece live action, because the One Piece is real and it's just the gift that keeps on giving.
I was surprised.
I was pleasantly surprised.
With how wonky that show is, in general, it's crazy that you can make that work for like a live action. Now, I don't recommend that they start doing that for a vast majority of anime because just... No. Don't you're going to spend an entire, whatever the greatest production ever, you're going to spend that on effects only. Because anime kind of gets a little crazy, but if they pivot and get into my bag and start looking at Slice of Life or the romance stuff, it'll cook.
Because I used to. Stone could do that. I feel like Dr. Stone,
Stone would work.
Would be like the cleanest one because science.
Now, yeah, the conversation. You could do Erased. So like,
that's true. Yeah.
Go back. I like to trick people that don't like anime into considering watching stuff by not telling them that things are anime. So I went, there was an anime y'all know about. I just said Erased. Erased is about this guy. He went into a coma. When he was going into a coma, he was going back to his childhood. This girl went missing when he was a kid, and he had a crush on her back then. So he's trying to stop her from being, you know, killed. Mm-hmm. So in the process of him doing that, he keeps going back, but he's in his kid body. So, you know, there's obvious obstacles to this, and he wasn't privy to what was happening at the time. So he's figuring out at the same time we are. Now, a lot of people love murder mysteries in just real life. Like, all know when Snapped came out, the little chauffeur where people finally snapped and took out their spouses was super popular.
Yes.
So I had a coworker that was into, like, she liked to listen to these crime podcasts and stuff like that. I was like, let me tell you about the show I watched this weekend, right? And I didn't tell her it was an anime. And I was like, yeah, so, you know, I explained the premise to her, just like I just said. And I mean, she was like, where can I find that show? What's that? And I was like, oh, it's an anime. It's an anime. You can find that. I think Erased is on Hulu, if I'm not mistaken, but it could be in a different place. So I'm going to look that up. But she was pissed when she found out it was an anime. She was like,
I mean, yeah.
When she was like, come on, why it got to be anime? You know I don't watch that. I said, but you was just feeling it when I was telling you about it.
Exactly. When you hook someone onto the idea of something, like, let's do that same thing. Let's do something else this time, right? Let's say, imagine if I can tell you about a world where all of the police and all the military have to use weapons, right? But these weapons can only be fired based off a morality sense, meaning unless an imminent threat is detected, their weapon will not fire. Meaning they have to do their work. See what I mean? Like, listen, they have to do it. Like, here's the thing. If you try to override this by any means whatsoever, you are immediately demoted or fired or worse because you violated the civil codes. Like, sounds cool so far? You know, imagine a team of people led by certain people who have all had more experience with it. And you cannot operate your weapon if you are currently in a shifty or anxious mood. Quite frankly, our biggest poll is people are, I was nervous, I was jittery, I was excited. What if your weapon just would not respond to you? Because you could not abide by the civil code. Yeah? Look into Psychopaths. You see, Psychopaths.
That's a crazy anime.
It is. And then how do you operate when someone else finds a way to deviate from society's norms and commits these atrocities without feeling a thing? But you can't do anything. But you have to do what you must. Do you fight the system? Is the system corrupt? Listen, Psychopaths was cool when I first started watching
John. That was one of my favorite anime villains of all time because I love Shogo Makishima, bro.
Listen, it was a good job.
But it's cold. Psychopaths, too. People don't recommend the second season. However, I'm a fan of formulating your own opinion. So,
of course,
check out what you want to check out. And getting into, you know, personal opinions.
Oh, what you got?
Can he beat Goku? Go ahead, sit up for this one. The people might not like this one too much.
Oh, I'm listening. I'm here.
But I know that this is correct. Now, when you're doing a versus, a lot of people like to say bloodluster. I personally don't agree with that because when you're having a character fight another character, you should always be having them be who they are as a person.
That's valid.
Now, that goes without saying that Goku likes to get the best out of whoever it is that he's fighting.
That's true.
And because of that, he's going to give them an opportunity to do what they do.
That
we
is
all
true.
Know this.
The Dragon Ball trope, yes.
So Sugar from One Piece, very easy clap. Very easy clap. One touch, and Sugar is going to turn him into a toy. And whenever she turns someone into a toy from the effects of her devil fruit, you can, everybody who is around you that knows who you are, they forget that you ever existed. So not only can she beat Goku, but it's going to be not only she beat Goku, but who is Goku?
Listen, you are not wrong. You are not wrong. Listen, listen, I covered the devil fruit. He is very valid. Because Goku is the way he is, he didn't even go full power against Beerus, a god of destruction initially, so he's not going to do that right. And when Beerus said he had someone who was stronger for, you know, the tournament, little red dude, all right, he let him land one hit, and all it takes is one tap. So if Sugar gets her grubby hands on you, sorry, Goku, you are now her cute little plushie. And who are you again? All right, you're Mr. Snuffies. That's who you are. Mr. Snuffies over there. Your family, they all forgot about you. And yeah, I'm sorry, guys, but this is confirmed. This is canon. Sugar can, in fact, be Goku. Damn, no, don't get mad. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. Oh, if he went Ultra Instinct, doesn't matter. He wouldn't. Vegeta would, but this isn't a Kenny B. This is not a Kenny B. Vegeta. This is a Kenny B. Goku. And yes, yes, she can. Damn, that's tragic. He out here getting whooped by little girls. That's,
she not being 17 either. The 17 not playing them games.
Oh, no. None of the androids are for real, for real.
No.
Currently getting watched, too.
Destroy this, really getting watched too.
But I think that concludes everything, right? I think that's that, right? We're good.
Go ahead, get a people what they love, sir.
Okay,
get a people what they love.
All right. Well then,
just every time sickens me.
Will the upcoming year be the best year for anime? Will we get any more bangers for anime? And above all else, can Sugar beat Goku? The answer is yes. Find out this and more on Kami Conversations. Once again, thanks for listening, share with a friend, and subscribe for more.
Thank you.